we're going to have God fix us, we've got to be grounded in His Word. We can apply the recipe of His Word to the situations of life we encounter. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are continuing in our series, the Pastoral Epistles. We still have one more chapter to go in 2 Timothy, and then we have the book of Titus. It's very important that we understand God's calling to the pastor, the qualifications of pastors, and what a pastor is required to do. And I think that God gave us a wonderful author in the human person and advocate of the Apostle Paul. So we left off at verse 14. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. Please follow as I read. Paul says to young Timothy after his whole dissertation of chapter 3, he says, "Now, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." It's one thing for us to know Scripture, it's another thing to apply them. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You see why I said that song was so appropriate? God's word is instruction in righteousness. So if He's going to fix us, we got to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, as we come here today, we need to be fed spiritually. May Your Spirit feed us from Your Word. Again, hide me behind the cross. Have Your way in our hearts. But also, Father, convict us where we need convicting. Encourage us, God, where we need encouragement. Instruct us where we need instruction. And Father, we're going to give You the praise because we know You love us and You're doing a special work in each and every one of us. Bless Your word our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of us would agree that the Bible clashes today with the morality of our culture. And to many, unfortunately, it is not politically correct. How many of us heard that? Therefore, much of the world believes the Bible to be obsolete and even a book of hate. Even in our day, it is criticized by the critics. And they mock us and laugh at us at the truths that we believe. And it was no different in Paul's day. And so the Apostle Paul charges Timothy to hold fast to the truth of God's word. Don't give it up just because the world around you is falling apart and they don't believe it. That's good instruction for all of us. So Timothy, hold fast to the truths of God's word. We must do it also, even in light of the fact that we are living amidst an evil climate. We've been talking this weekend a lot about how the world has accepted evil and called it good. How many of you see that when you put on the news? How many of you? Put your hands up. Let me see if you actually are, you see it. We see that the world is upside down and it's making its way to accept its future leader, the Antichrist, Satan incarnate. God's word is true and its truth will endure forever, so don't give up on the word of God. And that's what Paul is saying. Three things in this passage. Embrace God's word, verses 14 to 15. Trust God's word. One thing to embrace, it's another thing to actually trust in, to put your faith in it. And last, recognize the benefits from God's word, verses 16b to 17. You know, only God can predict precisely future events. They are recorded in the Bible. We have all of these mediums and pronosticators who say they know the future. And they might get one or two things right, conversing with demons. But God never gets it wrong. Amen. His word proves that this book was authored by someone who not only can see the future, but has shaped the future. So embrace God's word. Don't give up on it because the society around us is falling apart. Paul knew that the city that Timothy was a pastor in was a wicked city full of evil. The worship of false gods, the fertility goddess Diana. Well, that was very prevalent worship in the city of Ephesus. And we're seeing our cities fall to that and to crime and to violence, much like in the first century. Say, Pastor, I live with people who don't believe in the Word of God anymore. They say it's antiquated, that the book even has hate speech in it. It's telling us that certain lifestyles are not right, and the world is telling us they are. Let me help you with this. And I think the reason why Christians are falling away, and the Bible says in the latter day that many of them will fall away, because you're not in the book anymore. We don't have a whole lot of Christians who are truly grounded in the Word of God. They have a superficial understanding of the Word of God. And they don't come to church enough to be grounded in the Word of God. They're off here, there, and everywhere. The church takes a back seat. I'll never forget when I went to a pastor's conference, and Dr. George Barner was our speaker. And by the way, he is a man of God, and he loves the local church. But he says he sees a great falling away from the truth of the local church, that we are living in this Laodicea era where Christians and pastors are thinking nothing but themselves, and they've kicked Christ out of the church. He asked us a question. He said, and you, many of you know that he founded Barna Research, and they do all these special surveys, not just for churches, but for many corporations in America. They've done for Walt Disney and IBM and other corporations. He said, do you pastors know how frequent a Christian goes to church? And you could hear many of us, oh yeah, once a week. And then some would shout out, no, twice a week. And we thought we knew what we were talking about. And he let us go on and shout out our answers. And he said, you're all wrong. The average Christian today goes to church once a month. That was about 10 years ago. Probably less than that now. So I praise God for you. Amen. Because most of you folks are here once or twice a week. But all across America, the survey, and Pew survey did the same research. The average Christian is only going to church. How can you be grounded in the Word of God if you're not sitting under the preaching of the teaching of the Word of God? We have to get back to understanding how unique the Bible is and embrace it. For example, did you know that there are at least 332 distinct, different Old Testament predictions regarding the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that are fulfilled perfectly as the Bible predicted, such as the virgin birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, such as his emergence from Egypt, his healing of the sick, his death on the cross. In fact, I would challenge you all to go home today and to get into your Bible and pray and ask God to just lay upon your heart how accurate the Bible is. When you read Psalm 22, it's called the Messianic Psalm. And in there, it'll tell you how Jesus Christ is crucified. They pierced his hands and his feet. You can see all his bones. Go home and read that. That was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus was even born. Now let me give you some more. Collectively, the combination of this evidence together, to my way of thinking and others, is absolutely marvelous. Unbelievable. There were men such as Josh McDowell who tried to disprove the Bible. In fact, he went to England, Oxford University. And he's a contemporary that's done this. There have been many others. And they went to Oxford and other universities, and they said, I'm going to disprove that Jesus exists and that the Bible is a phony. Josh McDowell and another man, Professor Peter Stoner, based on mathematic calculations, they didn't even begin with any belief, but they came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Both have calculated that the probability of any one man, listen to me carefully, fulfilling just what did I start out with? Old Testament. I haven't even gotten to the New Testament. 332 distinct prophetic utterances of Christ. They just said, let's look at just 8. One man fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies, mathematically thinking, would be 10 to the 17th power. Now, for those of us who don't like math, maybe you can't see that or understand the magnitude. So let me give you an illustration. It's not original with me, but someone noted, just for our understanding of this overwhelming evidence, that many silver dollars, 10 to the 17th power, silver dollars, what, about yay big? That many silver dollars would cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now, these pages are almost a foot. So that would be that deep. You getting the picture now? 2 feet deep. How big is Texas? 268,970 square miles. I looked it up last night just for the fun of it. Now, the odds get bigger if you go to 48. You just remember, there's 332. We just looked at 8. What is the possibility of one man fulfilling those 8? I gave that to you. So what is the possibility? And Stoner went into this into detail. He says that if you consider just 48 of the prophecies, the odds become 10 to 157 zeros. That's what it means when it says, you know, to the 10th power, the 12th power, the 157th power. That means 157 zeros. Everybody understand that? You don't sound too impressed today. I haven't got one amen. Folks, I'm trying to get you to get grounded in this word because it's absolutely accurate. That the critics will tell you it's flawed. They've been saying that for years. I've told you, I don't know how many times, critics said there was no such civilization as the Hittites. We know in the Old Testament, talks about the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Termites. No, I threw that one in there. To see if you're listening. And the Hittites. An archaeologist said, the Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. No such civilization ever existed, so the Bible's flawed. How many of you remember Dottie Paul went to Turkey and she came back with pictures, and what did she show us? The Hittite civilization in a museum in Turkey. So who was right? The critics of the Bible. The Bible. In this passage, Paul is telling Timothy, the world around us is going to abandon God's word. Don't you do it. Continue in what you have learned. And I'm saying that to you. He says in verse 14, let's go back there. Timothy, I want you to continue in the things which thou hast learned. Don't deviate. Remain fixed. Hold fast. Don't move no matter what the pressure, no matter what the difficulty, no matter if evil increases. Don't compromise. And neither should you or I. Because this word of God is going to come under attack more and more. Hostilities are going to arrive, just as they did for Timothy. Don't waver. Stay true. Remain in the things you have learned. And that word is a verb in the aorist tense in the Greek. It is mathado. Mathado means be disciplined. To increase in knowledge. Continue in what you have learned. The second verb used there, it's four words in the English King James, but it's actually just one word in the Greek, and that is pistato. It almost sounds like a word in Italian that I wouldn't say in church. Pistato. And that means to confirm, to establish something that is fixed and firm in belief. And the problem is we don't have Christians grounded in the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My words shall not. And yet we have on the market today Bibles that do not consist of all the words of God. A long time ago, I came convinced that I needed to find a Bible that had every word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall not pass away. Not even a dot or a tittle. So I did a course on the criticism of manuscripts in college. And I found out that the authorized text is still the most accurate, even though the words in it translated into English are somewhat archaic. We do have the New King James. Many people don't know that many new translations are taken from the Westcott and Hort manuscripts that they found in the Vatican that were discarded by the papacy. Now, they're great to have for archaeologists, but they're missing a whole lot of verses of the Bible. In fact, Bob Jones University put out a booklet, it's about yay thick, I have it, of all the words of God that are not in many of the other translations. Because these other translations were found and put together as a manuscript, but they're not the Textus Receptus. They're not the authorized version. Folks, we ought to make a decision that we want to have a Bible that has every word of God. Why? Because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we need to embrace all of God's word. What made Timothy such an effective soldier in defending the faith and defending the truth was that he had such strong convictions and such a mentor in Paul. He had learned and become convinced of certain things, things that were truths regarding the Word of God. We're losing that today. They're watering down the Word of God. We're raising up a generation that does not understand the foundational truths in the book of Genesis. Thank God for AIG, Answers in Genesis. I found it many years ago by Ken Ham. He came to America and he said that churches are failing their congregants, their people, because they refuse to preach the truth of what Genesis teaches because of the culture around them is teaching evolution. And we're becoming more steeped in the falsehoods of the culture than in the Word of God. Timothy was to hold to his convictions. Are you? I know it's not easy. I think we're crazy. Timothy was to hold to his convictions because he was to recall from whom he had learned them and the worthiness of his teachers. Let's look at that. He says in verse 15, Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Whoa, that's important, isn't it? How many of us can say that we grew up in a Christian home? Not that that saved you, by the way. But that we grew up in a Christian home and the Bible was very prevalent in our lives. And we went to church and we heard preaching, fundamental Bible teaching. That's not happening today. That's why we have so many Christians that are superficial in their faith. Timothy, remember your mom and your grandmom. And that's what he says here. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. You know why we don't make wise decisions? Because we're not grounded in the Word of God. They're able to make thee wise unto salvation. And the other things too. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Found interesting interview that was done by Brendan Corr back in October when Ken Ham and some of his leaders there on the board were trying to make a decision about reopening the Ark attraction and the museum. And it was a podcast, and I've read the whole podcast. And he was interviewed by this fellow who was sponsored to do so by the Australian Christian College. He said, I want you to listen carefully, in relationship to this verse, because that's how I found it. In relationship to this verse about Timothy, he said, quote, I remind people that when you look at what Paul said about Timothy and about how he was trained from a young age to know the scriptures, we need to be teaching our children. I don't think that's going on in a lot of Christians' homes. Why? Because they go to school and the school's telling them, you know, all about we came from monkeys. I don't know about you. I didn't come from a monkey. Okay? Now this, you gotta listen carefully to this, because when I read it, I didn't know what Ken was talking about. He said this. My parents taught us to be Vegemite kids. Anybody know what Vegemite is? I didn't think anybody would, because I had no idea. I've heard of it before, but I forgot what it was about. So I looked it up. Vegemite is a dark color spread. You know, you put it on bread or toast. And it's made from vegetables and yeast extract. Some of you are going, delicious already, right? Can't wait for lunch. It has a very strong and unique salty flavor. But, Ken said to Brendan in this podcast, he says, let me tell you, it is an acquired taste. But for outies who are raised on it from, you know, being a little child, it is part of their everyday diet. He came here to America in 1987. He says, most Americans, you give them a taste of Vegemite and they hate it. He says, I love Vegemite. And the reason is because our parents brought us up to acquire a taste from a very young age, and that taste is with us for the rest of our lives. Now listen, he's not doing a commercial for Vegemite. What is he trying to say? We need to bring up our kids at a very young age, as Deuteronomy 6 says, write it on the walls, write it on the posts, put it on their foreheads, get the word of God in their hearts. Why? Because the world out there is going to do everything it can to steal them from you if they haven't already done that. He concluded that by saying, listen, to acquire a taste for the things of the Lord, for apologetics, for a defense of the faith, for evangelism, or for standing on the word of God without compromise, it must start in the home at a young age. That's exactly what Paul is commending Timothy. Timothy, you grew up with this. Don't discard it now. You need it more now than you ever did. Did you know that nearly half, 43%, again, Barna Research, of all Americans who accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they do so before the age of 13. Now, I don't just take people's word for that. I went down to my office. I have a file of four or five of them all together about that thick. Of all the baptisms that I've done since I've been here, since 1988, went through them all. Do you know that that percentage is pretty close to what we have? And many of these kids got saved in the Awana program or in Sunday school. They got saved at a young age. Now, that's not to say there weren't many adults, but I was looking at the percentage and it's pretty close to that. Lois and Eunice, we go to another passage of scripture and we find that Lois was Timothy's mom and his grandmother. They were following the Old Testament instruction, again, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And They were to instruct their children, and they were to talk about the law of God, the word of God, when they stood up, when they sat down, when they lie down, when they walked in the way. They were to put it everywhere. I think for some of us, we're ashamed to put even a Bible verse on our refrigerator in case somebody comes. They might think we're fanatics. When Timothy heard the gospel, what he had been taught made him wise, gave him the ability to be a pastor in one of the most difficult places on the face of the earth in the first century. The Bible prepares us, folks, to make the right choices. Your life is a composite of all the choices that you have made. The greatest choice that you will ever make is to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? You don't have to answer, but you ought to answer in your heart. Have you done that? Have you made the choice to be saved? Do you know you need to be saved? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say, I'm going to die anyway. So what's the difference? That's talking about the second death. We're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto the man wants to die and then the judgment. So it's talking about a second death, a spiritual death, is talked about in the book of Revelation. Do you want to die and be forever separated from God? And cast into what we know is a place called hell. God doesn't want you to go there. He didn't create hell for us. But what is he to do with those that rebel and refuse him? So trust God's word. Don't just embrace it. Trust in it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, God. He will direct your path. He will give you direction for your life. You know why we have so many wayward Christians? They're not grounded in the Word of God. Are you? Are you happy just to come and, you know, I'll just come and half-heartedly listen to a sermon? Listen, you can't get enough food for your spiritual soul from 1 hour on a Sunday. You need more. You need to be a Vegemite Christian. Everybody know what that means now? Vegemite Christian. Maybe when they first ate that Vegemite didn't taste too good, but they kept up, you know, with the Vegemite. And it was good for the kids, I hear. It's made from vegetables. I don't know if I'd like the yeast extract, but anyway. We must believe all of God's word, not just some of it. All of the Bible is inspired. This is because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We go to the next verse. We know this verse by heart. All Scripture. It's plenary. It's concluding every word. And again, I ask you, do you have a Bible that has every word of God? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What does that mean? It means God breathed it out and gave it unto man. Listen, when you tell people what the Bible says, often they'll say, I don't know if I believe the Bible. Man wrote it. Say, amen, you're right. Man did write it. Man did write it. But back it up with not just any man. The Bible says holy men of God wrote as God breathed it out. Back it up with Scripture. It is the Holy Spirit that transported the words into the minds of the biblical writers, and they wrote down God's word for the purpose of us living a life and practicing our faith according to God's word. We all know Psalm 119, 160. We studied in Sunday school. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure for a short time? For what? Ever. Forever. The Bible proves the Bible. Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. We go back and we can find passage after passage, the reference verses that authenticate, substantiates the truth that Jesus taught. In today's language, this means that the Bible is the infallible word of God. You will have Christians come along and they'll say, well, that's not true for today. You know, what was written, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, that doesn't apply today. Now, in very few cases, like we go to the Old Testament and some of the ceremonial laws that deal with the Jewish people, they don't apply to us. We understand that. Let's look at it intelligently. But the principles of God's words apply, don't they? Amen? They apply to all of us. Say, oh, the culture is different. Yeah, but our God's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 says, God changes not. Timothy said, there's no shadow of turning with thee. But we bought into this concept that the world has changed and our God has changed with it and everything that's evil is okay now. The only God that's saying that is the God of this world. His name is Lucifer. Beelzebub. Apollyon. And he will manifest himself in the Antichrist. Jesus Christ, throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, repeatedly testified, to the complete inspiration and authority of the Bible. Now, when Jesus came, it was only the Old Testament. But now we have the completed canon. The word scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 obviously refers to the Old Testament, since the New Testament was incomplete. It wasn't finished until about 95 AD. But this verse certainly includes any biblical writing that is considered canonical, that's in the Bible. Take your Bible, keep your finger there, go to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll be done shortly. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. I love this. And Peter, the apostle, is writing an account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He's testifying that what Paul is writing is from God. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as do they also the other scriptures. Now you got to look at that. So he's putting the apostle Paul's epistles in with scripture. God allowed that because this is given by the inspiration of God. And by the way, those that twist the scriptures do it to what? Their own destruction. Be careful about adding or taking away from the Word of God. The Bible truths clash today with the morality of our culture. We know that. They're not politically correct. They believe that they're antiquated. But you need to embrace the Word of God. You need to trust the Word of God. And you need to understand that there are benefits by doing so. In the last section, and I'll be quick, the last section of Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the end of it, and 17 says this. What? That it is profitable. The Word of God, did you know that? It's profitable. It's beneficial for you, Timothy, and for us. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why would God do that? That we, the man of God, the women of God, the children of God, may be mature. The word there, perfect, comes from the Greek word conveying concept of maturity, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, God's word is not only inspired, it is profitable when we receive his word as his word. The Bible is not just a book of some great inspiring story like, you know, David and Goliath, or about, you know, an ancient people we know as the Jews. It is a book of doctrine, and it is profitable for everyday life. And the word translated doctrine here from the Koine Greek means in the context of teaching, not the method, but the principles. This means our doctrine and our Christian instruction must be consistent with all scripture. Unfortunately, we live in a day where people go to one scripture and they'll say, oh, this is what God says. But we haven't looked at all the counsel of God. That's why it's very important when you study the Bible that you study in a systematic sense. What do I mean by that? Okay, if you're going to learn about Jesus, start in Genesis. Find out everything God says about his son. Now you can put together doctrine. But you can't do that by just looking at a couple of verses of scripture. Unfortunately, that's what's happening today. The Bible also is good for reproof. That means rebuke. This means as we read and hear the word of God, we're convicted Are you convicted when you read the Bible? I know I am. When I do my devotions every day, God says something that I need to straighten up. And when we receive the reproof and the correction, we find our lives straightening out. And that's what the Greek word actually conveys, straightening. The Bible not only rebukes us when we sin, but it also tells us what to do to correct our lives. We're to confess our sin. Again, I go back to the choir song, and we didn't converse on that. We want the Lord to fix us, and He's telling us in this passage exactly how we can do that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just, forgive us of our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, and for guiding and furnishing us unto all good works. I got to close. As I do, I want to ask a question. I know I'm preaching primarily to a Christian crowd, born-again believers. But let me ask you, are you feeding on the Word of God? Are you feeding your soul the Scriptures? Are you feeding your spiritual being the preaching and the teaching of God's Word? Are you becoming spiritually malnourished? A critic once wrote a letter to a magazine saying, I quote, "Over the years, I suppose I've gone to church more than 1,000 times. I've heard the Bible preached from good preachers and pastors many, many years. But what good was that?" Next week, somebody wrote back, quote, "Over the past many years, I have eaten more than 1,000 meals that were prepared by my wife. I cannot remember the specific menu of those meals, but they certainly nourished me along the way. Just look at me, you'll know I'm a different man. And the Bible will do the same as a spiritual work in you." Amen. Now, my wife's a good cook, and I can tell you some of my favorite dishes. But if you asked me what she cooked 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I might not be able to tell you, but I'll tell you this. I ate. I was nourished. How about you? Are you getting nourishment on a regular basis from the Word of God? If not, you're not going to be grounded in the Word of God. You're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Let's not allow that. Let's pray. Father, I do believe we're speaking to mostly believers here today. But if there is one among us who's not sure if they die to go to heaven, I know they've heard the message. May they now confess they're a sinner and cry out, "Oh Lord Jesus, save me a sinner. Thank you for Jesus dying in my place and rising again from the dead to justify me in your holy eyes. Oh God, come into my life. Make me a dear child of you who is obedient unto your word." Lord, I know this is difficult in the day in which we live, but help all of us to be fed on the Word of God. Help us to feed from it. Help us to be nurtured by it. Help us to apply it to the situations of life, just as Paul admonished young Timothy to do. Bless us now as we leave this place, and may we apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's